Welcome into the KSRO Kitchen. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How
You're
are you?
Good? I'm actually 100%. Well, maybe 90%. You're listening to America's longest running radio food show, 38 years and counting. And it's been a number of years, but actually we did do an interview many years ago about the Northern California Soy and Tofu Festival. And I was thrilled to see that this San Francisco is this event that's taking place in San Francisco is coming back next Saturday. So we wanted to chat a bit about that. John, you've done a lot of work with tofu over the last 30, 35 years. It appeared in your great cookbook, John Ash Cooking One-on-One. And you also have given some of your tofu recipes over the years.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about those. But first, we want to welcome Kenji Taguma to the KSRO Kitchen, who is speaking on behalf of the Soy and Tofu Festival. Good morning, Kenji.
Good morning.
Nice to have you on the show this morning. How long have you been involved in the festival?
Well, since its inception in 2012, it, of course, started as a fundraiser for the Nietzsche Bay Foundation, which published the Nietzsche Bay newspaper, the first nonprofit ethnic community newspaper of its kind in the country. So it's our signature fundraiser.
And it always happens at this time of year in summer?
Yeah, it always happens in June. Of course, we took a couple years off in 2020 and 2021 because of the pandemic, but we're coming back again. We switched between the Peace Plaza in Japantown and the Event Center. We're back at the Event Center, of course, because the Peace Plaza is under renovation.
So it's at the, is it St. Mary's Cathedral?
Yeah, there's an Event Center underneath St. Mary's Cathedral, so underneath the church. It's right across the street from Japantown. But there's plenty of free parking there, and there's a lot of space, and actually probably 2.5 times larger footprint than the Peace Plaza, so we can get a lot done there.
Wow. Have you ever gone to this festival, John?
I haven't. I was just reading some of the things that have been featured in the past. Why don't we have some?
A lot of different tofu and soy product vendors will be featured at the festival. And would you run us through some of the vendors that we don't want to miss at the festival, Kenji?
Sure. We're really excited. We have probably our largest offering of vendors this year. For the first time, we have an Indonesian tempeh vendor. We have a couple of Filipino vendors. We're really excited to have the ongoing support of mainstays like Morinaga, which we do smoothies out of, Kikkoman, Hodo Foods, Hodo Soy. And we're really excited to introduce Meiji Tofu, which is a very, very great handmade artisan tofu from Gardena, Southern California, to this year's festival for the first time. And of course, we have major sponsors like Bachan's, which is in your neck of the woods in Sebastopol. A great story about, a fourth-generation Japanese-American making the sauce that his grandmother used to make and sharing it with the world, and it's all over the place now.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story that Justin and his grandmother made this sauce a reality, and it even shows up in Costco. It's being sold all over the place, and we're real happy about our homegrown boy success.
Yes. We also have, a lot of artisan vendors, too. One in particular, Maki Minno, which is named after my niece, Maki, and nephew, Minno. It was actually born at the Soy and Tofu Festival. It's my brother-in-law's company that did the main graphic for the Tofu Festival, but also started a line of tofu characters on decals and T-shirts. And he also created our mascot, and we're the only Japantown Festival with a mascot, that cutie so pretty.
And what is the mascot?
What is the mascot?
It's a cute. Her name is Cutie Tofuti, named by our past co-chair of the festival, and she's a big block of tofu with a hula skirt, and it's great. I mean, she can't move 5 feet without someone stopping her for photos.
Oh, that's beautiful. What are some of the new food vendors where you can actually taste some products?
Yeah, we have Meiji Tofu. We have Thank You Grill, Filipino barbecue. Let's see. We have the Sarap Shop, which is a Filipino sisig. We have, Pine United Methodist Church doing their Wafu Dogs. We have Ninchi Bay Cafe doing our Mabo Tofu. And we're using Impossible Foods. So Impossible is also a major sponsor, which is being used in three different booths.
What about dessert?
Dessert, we have a Shades of Sugar Bake Shop that's there. We have Moomit Farms, which is doing a tofu donut.
So can we get a dozen of those?
Okay, maybe they can do special delivery for you.
Yeah,
or you're
wonderful.
Have to come. But we used to have a tofu dessert competition for years. We did this, and it was very interesting to see how the creative uses of soy were. As that, you know, the creativity winded down, last year we launched a what we call the Soyful Youth Art Contest. And this year we have about 105 entries from 14 states across the country, from Hawaii to New York to Oklahoma, Texas. We've had entries from Wyoming. But their interpretation, you know, for kindergarten to 12th grade about, you know, soy heroes or the healthy aspects of tofu. So it's really interesting to get that kind of creativity in a contest that's sponsored by Yasutomo, which their motto is inspiring creativity. So it's perfect.
Now, am I correct, or is this a rumor, that there's going to be a tofu eating contest?
Yes, this is very popular. So we get, you know, we get a few volunteers from the crowd, and we have several of them throughout the day. And we have them really stuff their face with Morinaga tofu, and the first person to win, you know, gets a prize. Sometimes in the past, we've kind of added the added obstacle of topping it with sriracha or wasabi.
Uh-oh.
They got to be extra brave for that.
How does what is the entry price, or is it pay per taste, or how does it all work?
So. You know, we used to charge admission for it, and this year it's actually free to get in. So it's, you know, we wanted to make it more beneficial for all our vendors and you know, lower the entry fee to pretty much nothing.
So the tasting, is that per fee? Do each of the vendors charge for that, or how does it work?
The tasting, some of the vendors have samples. I mean, we're going to have... You know, Bataan's giving out samples, Kikkoman samples of soy milk and tofu. We have various tofu vendors that have donated tofu for the event. I think some of the food vendors are going to be selling items that, you know, at whatever they set the price at. We're going to have the Impossible Bataan's burger, and Ninchi Bay Cafe is going to have the Impossible Mabo Tofu, a popular dish across Asia. It's really a celebration of the soy, the joy of soy. Soybean is such a omnipresent commodity in throughout Asia. So there's different interpretations as well. So we have a dessert cooking demonstration that's going to use edamame okara, which is a byproduct of tofu, and miso in their dessert.
It is the place to learn about and taste soy and tofu products. It's the Soy and Tofu Festival, the 13th year. It's at the Event Center at St. Mary's Cathedral. That's on Gough Street at Gary Boulevard, right in the periphery of San Francisco's Japantown. It's next Saturday, June 14th, from 11 until 5 o'clock. The weather should be splendid as far as I know. And if you want more information, www.soyandtofufest.org. Is that correct, Kenji?
That's correct.
All right. Well, have a joyful soy experience. I know you will next Saturday. And thanks for chatting with John and me this morning on the show.
Sure. We'll have a soyful experience.
Yeah.
Take care.
Okay, take care.
Thanks. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll chat about some of John Ash's fabulous tofu-inspired recipes, and we'll be posting a few of those on the KSRO website this morning. Don't go away, because at the bottom of the hour, a terrific new cookbook by an author, Carolyn Cho, called Banchan, 60 Korean-American Recipes for Delicious Shareable Sides, and a number of really cool-sounding tofu recipes in her cookbook, too.
Starting your own business can be challenging, and Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Dorothy Rodella, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Lawrence from Faircrest Market.
When we took over Faircrest Market, we tried out a large multinational bank, but we quickly realized we needed a more personal touch. Local people who understand our business and can make decisions right here in our community. It didn't take long to realize Exchange Bank was the solution we were looking for, and their focus on giving back to the local community aligns perfectly with our own company values.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Visit exchangebank.com for more information. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Attention Marin and Sonoma residents. Did you know that the services provided by the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District are funded by property taxes and are available to you at no extra cost? That's right. From mosquito control to providing helpful advice on rodent control, we've got you covered. Need assistance with ground nesting yellow jackets? We've got that too. Don't forget, we also deliver mosquito fish right to your permanent water source. Learn more about our services and how they benefit you at msmosquito.org.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Does your business need advertising but cash flow is a challenge? Then contact us at the My Sonoma Deals program. It's a cashless program based on trade. Are you a restaurant, a golf course, a boutique, car wash, bowling alley, jewelry store, or florist? There are so many categories. Contact My Sonoma Deals now to find out if your business qualifies. Just go online to mysonomadeals.com and click on contact. That's mysonomadeals.com and click on contact.
Hi, this is Jason Walsh, editor of North Bay Biz magazine. This month, we take an in-depth look at the challenges and triumphs of the first decade of Sonoma Clean Power, the local public electricity provider bringing clean energy to Sonoma and Mendocino counties. Can SCP really provide a spark for home energy efficiency? What do small businesses need to know about the 100% renewable Evergreen service? And will the next 10 years of clean energy keep pace with rising climate change? Power up this month at northbaybiz.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. Delighted, as always, to talk food with John. And you talked about tofu a lot in one of your cookbooks from a number of years ago. Actually, it was 21 years ago, 2004, called John Ash Cooking One-on-One, Private Lessons in Simple Contemporary Food from a Master Teacher. If you see a copy, get it, because you devote almost a whole chapter to tofu, explaining the different kinds of tofu, how to buy tofu. It's like a master class in tofu. Was that a period of time when you were really actively exploring tofu?
The answer is yes. But I think we were also at a time in which generally people were interested in tofu because of its health reasons, good for you, and its adaptability to all kinds of things.
Well, it's still true today.
Yeah.
And chefs continue to be very creative with tofu. Yeah. I think initially it was like, I'll have some tofu because it's good for me, but it's bland. But boy, you dispelled that myth. There's so much creativity that can be applied to tofu. We brought up a few recipes out of the many that you did. One was a mushroom tofu veggie burger, which just sounds fantastic. No one's doing these type of things. They should do these things.
I don't know why, because they're simple, number one. They don't take a lot of effort.
And with a little slice of fresh mozzarella on top as you mentioned, teaspoon of some salsa, all kinds of riffs on that. That's one of your wonderful recipes. Next one is a grilled skewer tofu, shiitake, daikon, and baby bok choy with a soy, ginger, and orange marinade. It's a mouthful, but it's really pretty simple to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
You skewer these, you prepare the marinade, it's simple as that. And 8-10 minutes on the skewers, on the grill, brush it, and then sprinkle some sesame seeds and cilantro leaves over it. It's a wonderful. And a lot of these are vegan, aren't they, for people?
Yes.
The first one, the mushroom tofu, does have an egg white. But besides that, pretty much vegan. The next one is tofu with a tomato and tamarind glaze and sesame spinach. You know, I see tamarind paste in the store sometimes, and I never know what to do with it.
Well, this is a good thing to do with it because tamarind has that wonderful tart flavor to it. So it adapts really well to all kinds of things.
Okay, well, this is easy. Tofu, olive oil, some sesame spinach on the side, and tomato tamarind glaze. So that recipe for that too, which again, well, you can leave out the fish sauce if you care to, and you still have kind of a vegan recipe. Now there's something I didn't think about, and that's beet soup with tofu sour cream. So do we, instead of using sour cream, we wooze up the tofu in a blender or something?
Yeah.
Is that what we do?
Yeah. And it's really pretty, too.
How about something like this? A spicy tofu omelet. And we're just making an omelet, and do we add tofu as a filling? Is that what we do?
Basically, that's what that is.
With some fried shallots or garlic flakes?
And use firm tofu and lime juice and peanuts and all of that stuff. So it's one of those really fast, and because it has a great texture with all of the great things that are there.
You start this recipe saying, this is a healthy and delicious preparation that I like a lot. Here I'm starting the tofu on top of the stove, finishing it in a hot oven, a technique often used in restaurants, and it's called soy roasted tofu with Asian greens.
Yeah.
That's one of your faves?
Yeah.
Simple to do, too. And the greens, I would assume, knowing you probably get them in an Asian market or something?
Well, you can get them in any market now.
Well, that's true.
You know, a good supermarket carries Asian greens.
One of the recipes that appeared in your book is tofu mayonnaise.
Yeah.
I've never made anything like that.
Well, it's kind of, it's delicious because it has a different flavor, somewhat different flavor to it. But you whoosh the tofu up in a blender along with some seasonings and stuff. And it's anything that you like mayonnaise in, there you go.
A little lemon juice, and you use silken or soft tofu for that. And a little Dijon, a little honey, a little olive oil, and salt and pepper. Well, that's wild. I may give that a try.
Yeah, you should.
Lovely.
Your next tuna salad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What an interesting idea. And I'm looking back on 22 years ago when John Ash and I did our wonderful, terrific tofu recipe contest. We got over 75 listener recipes submitted.
Then
we did a fabulous finals at the Whole Foods here in Santa Rosa. And we're looking at the winning recipe from a gal named Kioi Logan. And she put together a tofu and shrimp balls, using tofu and shrimp and parsley and little cloves, which were really interesting, garlic cloves, a little bit of flour to bind it, and then she served it with a creamy curry sauce, which was just spectacular. Yeah.
You could also use the fabulous mayonnaise.
Oh, the tofu mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Great idea. So look for those tofu recipes on the KSRO Good Food Hour website. We'll put those up this weekend. Coming up, Caroline Choi and her new book, Banchan. We'll learn all about that right after this message.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Voted best in the North Bay by the Bohemian, Paradise Pet Resort is the top choice for your furry friend.
We really need a getaway. When was the last time we took a vacation? Just the two of us.
Right before we got Buckley.
I know, it's so tough to leave him behind. Who's gonna spoil him like we do?
No worries, you can take that vacation. At Paradise Pet Resorts, your pet gets the royal treatment while you're away. With webcams, you can check in and watch your furry friend's wagging tail and playful antics all day long. Your pet gets playtime, socializing, belly rubs, ear scratches, and more. Plus, daycare helps burn off that extra energy, so they'll be just as relaxed as you.
This is exactly what we needed. Let's check in on Buckley.
Those webcams are a lifesaver.
Book your pet stay today. Boarding, daycare, and grooming at Paradise Pet Resorts in Rohnert Park and Santa Rosa. Visit ParadisePetResorts.com.
Paradise Pet Resorts.
If food is your love language, then you'll want to be in Cloverdale on Saturday, June 14th. From 5 to 10 p.m., the Cloverdale Citrus Fairgrounds transforms into a vibrant tasting ground for the return of Clover Food Fest.
This isn't just dinner. It's a curated collection of culinary experiences. Bite into smoky barbecue, discover handmade noodles, global street food, and inventive desserts you won't find anywhere else.
Sip something crisp and local, including award-winning wines, Wolf House Brews, Michelob, and margaritas.
Every dish tells a story, and every vendor from small town chefs to pop-up favorites brings something bold to the table.
There's a DJ spinning tunes to set the mood, drinks to keep you cool, and enough flavor to keep you exploring all evening.
Clover Food Fest is a free event for all ages, made for people who believe good food brings people together.
That's Saturday, June 14th from 5 to 10 p.m. at the Cloverdale Citrus Fairgrounds.
Great bites, good people, one delicious night.
Dr. Tom's work is truly world-class.
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui.
I'm a flight attendant, and believe me, when it comes to plastic surgery, I have seen it all. Luckily, my friend told me about Dr. Tom's website. I took a look soon after I met him. I was immediately taken by his warm and authentic demeanor. I love that he only uses local anesthesia. That made all the difference to me. I decided on two procedures, breast augmentation and Botox. Now, whenever my girlfriends see me in a bathing suit, the first thing they ask me, after they tell me how amazing I look, is where did you go? I want that. My answer? Dr. Walter Tom in Santa Rosa. He and his staff are the best the world over, and I've been all over the world.
For your complimentary consultation with Dr. Tom, call 707-542-8346.
Let's stay young together.
Visit Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui. Online at drtomcosmetic.com. That's drtomcosmetic.com.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Some early morning clouds at the moment, but later this afternoon we can look to mostly sunny skies with daytime highs in the mid-70s. In the evening, we can anticipate generally cloudy skies to leave us with overnight lows in the high 40s and low 50s. Temps should hang around the mid to low 70s through at least Tuesday. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, celebrating our 38th year, America's longest-running radio food show from beautiful Sonoma County, California, part of the San Francisco Bay Area. And what a perfect lead-in. We just had a lovely conversation with Kenji Taguma, who was one of the original founders of the Northern California Soy and Tofu Festival, which is happening next Saturday in San Francisco, and then followed by some of John Ash's great tofu recipes. And I noticed in Caroline Cho's new cookbook, Banjan, 60 Korean-American Recipes for Delicious Shareable Sides, which came out last year, that she also has some tofu recipes, which we'll chat about. Caroline, thanks for joining John and me this morning. Good morning.
Morning. Hi, how are you? Well, it's afternoon here in New York.
I was going to say, I know you're several hours ahead of us, aren't you?
Yeah. But nonetheless, hi.
And how is the weather today in New York?
Oh, gosh. It is currently muggy, and it is also raining.
Oh, you should be here. We're at 75 and lots of sunshine.
It's just gorgeous.
You soak up that sunshine.
Yeah, I certainly do. So would you, first of all, clarify this? I've Googled and searched the correct pronunciation for B-A-N-C-A-C-H-A-N, and it's all over the map.
Okay. It's Pantan. Yeah, you had it right in your pronunciation, Pantan.
Now, are you starting that with a B or a P?
It's like, you know, a B pronunciation, but, pretty much I would say in any pronunciation, you just, when it's being anglicized, it's just going to do what it's going to do. But yes, Pantan, that's pretty much how it's pronounced.
Well, when we saw this book last fall, or I think it came out, was it October, November, December sometime, didn't it?
So October, actually, October 8th. Yeah.
We were knocked out by this book, and it seemed like it really kind of exploded out of nowhere.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But there were not many books devoted specifically to Banchan. Were there on the market at that point?
No. So I'm actually kind of glad they had told me this after everything was written, after everything was, done. The Chronicle had brought up to me that, yes, this was apparently the first book focusing on Pantan written in the United States for, you know, specifically this topic. And I was like, well, I'm really glad you didn't tell me that before. Because there was already enough pressure as it was. But I was, happy if this was just a beginning. So there's certainly been a lot of books. Korean books and Korean American books, Korean culture books that do have Pantan recipes, but this one was specific to Pantan and also recipes that they were redistributed into. And yeah, so I'm proud to have at least done it.
So, what is it when you talk about Pantan? If for somebody who's never had Korean food? And you were offering them some banchan, what would they be getting?
It would be a collective side dishes the things that I would say most familiar to people would be on your Korean barbecue table, all the small dishes that are distributed. There are three main categories, one of which is fermented vegetables, so things like kimchi and then there are there's toryim, which is stuff that is soy sauce braised and soy sauce marinated. And then there is the third category, which is namul and mutim, which is fresh vegetables. In some of the cases in my book, fresh fruit also. And we kind of expanded it as we were working because to answer any questions anybody might have had about other dishes that were served in the collective that would be on your table. So although it's not traditionally considered, I did include pancakes and soups and Meng Ti actually herself, who I was fortunate enough to meet at an event, she did tell me that she kind of just gave me these pearls of wisdom, which was if it can be served in small, dishes, then it can be considered Pantan. I kind of felt better about it because the queen had spoken, so I was very grateful to her for that.
And tell us who she is.
Meng Ti is, she is basically what I would say is one of the pioneers of teaching cooking on YouTube, specifically Korean cooking and Korean home cooking. And she basically kind of paved the way, I want to say, for how people cook at home and if they were interested in cooking Korean food at home, whether or not you're familiar with it or not. And I was at the time when I was beginning this career and transitioning out of education and art, kind of knowing that there was somebody kind of getting it started was kind of relieving. So I didn't set out to teach, you know, necessarily just Korean cooking, but it does seem to be something everyone's interested in and something I'm very familiar with.
Well, certainly the explosion of Korean restaurants in the last, let's say, 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. that certainly foretold that your cookbook would be a reality.
I mean, it's not been an easy road, if that's, you know, although there is interest, it's still kind of a hard road to navigate. And although I'm very grateful for, you know, what's been happening, you know, we still have ways to go and we're getting there and I'm hoping that we continue. So you're
Korean American. What did your mom and dad think about this cookbook?
Oh yeah. They, you know, again, like many people who are, you know, with or without Asian American heritage, I can say from any immigrant household or any household in which anyone has never had to measure anything for family recipes and, you know, that it was a trip and a half. At first I kind of broke the news to them saying like, I'm writing a cookbook. And, you know, they were like, oh, okay. And, you know, thank God my daughter's employed. That's basically what they were thinking. and then it became, you know, my father was newly retired at the time and he, you know, definitely cooks more than my mother does. No. And that I found out later on in my life that my mother actually did not like to cook at all. So my dad is actually very good at it. And when he, when I was growing up, he didn't cook as much because he was, you know, a working doctor. He was also a musician. And so when we did have dad's food, it was usually like, you know, Dinty Moore beef stew out of the can or something. and not that that was bad. That was, you know, taste of my childhood. But when we started doing this, it was, to me, it was very important that I got their, you know, the impossible, which was to ask them for their recipes, which my sister, my brother, and I have all kind of just set out on the quest to see if we could get mom, you know, dad's recipes. And because he's still very, you know, like, no, I can't do that. And we're like, okay, why not? We're your children.
Yeah.
I noticed that in part one, in the opening of the book, you start off with mom and dad's kimchi.
Yes. Yes. That is theirs. And it was actually something I initially had gotten for the first article I ever wrote, which was for Food 52. And it was a piece that was about their kimchi recipe and also my recipe, which was my kimchi mac and cheese, which is another recipe that I put in the book. And for the record, that kimchi mac and cheese recipe has a very beginner's portion of kimchi. I suggest everybody do more. If you're unfamiliar with having kimchi mac and cheese, then you can start with the tiny portion that I put there. But I strongly encourage more, like at least 2 cups, and, you know, take it from there. But, for them, this was a challenge as well. And it was kind of one of those ordeals in which you kind of have to, well, how do we measure? We've never measured anything before. Wow. And, you know, for these, you just do it by instinct and taste. And, you know, I would get all these phone calls back, even though it was the same information being on repeat. And it's like, and one more thing. I'm like, oh my God, what exactly did you forget? No, you didn't forget anything. Okay. You just needed to call me. And the thing was, it could have gone not as humorous. Do you know what I mean? It could have been extremely secretive, extremely, you know, very not proactive. And I'm just really glad that this was a process for us that could be their recipes and also mine.
Well, beautiful. It's not like a family bonding experience.
You know, one of the things that's really wonderful are the photography that's in there. Mm-hmm. It looks so delicious.
thank you.
Beautiful. Who did the photography of the book?
So I had a wonderful team. I worked with Ghazal Vadio Zamani, who she's just, if you want anyone to be with you on your first book experience, Ghazal is it. We both came from our own Asian American heritage, immigrant, you know, families, and she is Iranian American and I'm Korean American, and she basically helped me shoulder a lot of the, you know, just kind of the questions I had about, you know, I was worried about how it would be presented. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I don't want this to be like food in a museum that's on display and gorgeous and untouchable. But I also didn't want it to be so whimsical and, you know, to be presented in such a way that it was art rather than, you know, food. And she really understood what I was doing, and she wasn't entirely familiar with Korean food, but I had a wonderful food stylist, my friend Julia Choi Rodriguez, and she would be able to prepare dishes without even me telling her what we were doing next. And, you know, for example, the kimchi jjigae, the kimchi stew, she was like, oh, this is my favorite. Don't worry, I got it. It is so imperative to have an Asian American team when putting together an Asian American cookbook. And my prop stylist was also Asian American. And the truth of the matter is, like, when I was talking to Chronicle, I said, I really, really want to advocate for an Asian American woman team. And they did help me out with that. And also, but also, yeah, these Julia, especially, I had known her work, and I'd known her since we both were getting started in our new parts of our job. And she, I told her, when I have a cookbook, you're coming with me. And and I kept my word. So, yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Caroline Cho is joining Chef John Ash and me in the KS Arto Kitchen this morning. Her new book is called Banchan. It's her first book, Banchan, 60 Korean-American Recipes for Delicious, Shareable Sides. Back after this. Don't go away. We won't.
Agricultural Community Farmers Markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week year-round.
Every Saturday and Wednesday from 8:30 to 1, the tradition continues at the Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market in Farmers Lane Plaza. Spring showers bring beautiful flowers. You'll find vibrant flowers and crisp greens from Coyote Family Farm, affordable leafy greens and onions from J.M. Ibarra, and a variety of fresh mushrooms from Fidel's Gourmet Growers. Craving berries? Kem's got strawberries and blueberries just waiting for you. Farm fresh eggs? No shortage here. Saturdays in Santa Rosa. Geyserville Gourmet has pickled vegetables to brighten up any meal, or try a specialty hummus in original or garlic. And don't miss Santa Rosa Seafood, offering fresh fish every Saturday, as well as specialty salads, cioppino, and clam chowder. Restaurant quality food vendors every Wednesday and Saturday. Expanded curbside shopping service available.
Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
Thinking about selling your home? It's a big decision, but you don't have to navigate it alone. Contact Allison and Stephanie Norman, the Norman Home Team.
What's holding you back? A low mortgage rate? While rates may stay steady, your home's value has likely increased, meaning more equity to put toward your next move.
Not sure your house is ready to sell? Connect with us first, as local experts will help you focus on the right updates, increasing your ROI, saving you time, money, and effort.
Worried about finding your next home? There are multiple ways to make it happen. online. We'll find a solution that works for you.
When you have questions, we have answers. Let's chat. No obligation, just expert advice.
Selling Sonoma, Napa, Lake, Mendocino, and Northern Marin counties. Now more than ever, who you work with matters. Contact the Norman Home Team. Visit normanhometeamwinecountry.com to get started. The Norman Home Team at Keller Williams Realty. Because two heads are better than one. DRE license number 01720334 and 02209237.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Esch. And it's been a long time trying to get this gal on the show. She's busy. Caroline Cho, her last name spelled C-H-O-E. And her new book is Banchan, 60 Korean-American Recipes for Delicious, Shareable Sides. During the break, John, you talked about experimenting with sweet potato noodles. What dish did you end up doing with that?
You can buy them already made. And what's interesting about them is they have such a wonderful texture. They're kind of chewy, and they're great. And I think her recipe is similar to many of them. It's kind of chewy.
So you like the texture of the sweet potato noodles, too. Is that right, Caroline?
Yeah, I believe he's talking about the tepta recipe. Is that, am I?
There's a stir-fried sweet potato noodles recipe.
Yeah. Lots of prep involved in that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also a recipe that's not really considerably banchan itself, but has a lot of banchan in it and can be served in small doses also. But, yeah.
Is that what you did, John, was stir-fry the noodles?
Yes, yeah.
Wonderful. And can you get those? Do you have to go to a Korean supermarket to get those noodles?
A lot of Asian supermarkets will have them, yeah. I mean, they may be caught on to other mainstream American supermarkets. But, yeah, I noticed that there's a further reach anyway than, you know, even 20 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're becoming more mainstream. Certainly the H Marts in the San Francisco Bay Area carrying them.
It was always mainstream to us, but yeah, I'm glad.
So, So the chapters are, we start off with wonderful with the pantry, which is really great. You talk about the different ingredients that you're using, and then some tips about handling these ingredients. Then we get to the banchan, the classics, the fermented, the preserved. Then into the fresh vegetable section, the seasoned salads, and then some of the fresh kimchi. No fermentation. But I always think of kimchi as always being fermented.
Right. There's fermented, and then there's also just fresh-made kimchi. I actually just taught a bunch of students how to do this a few weeks ago.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's just one of those, again, very much just using what's in your pantry and whatever you have. And making yourself fresh kimchi on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have the flavors. It doesn't have the, you know, further depth and, you know, softness necessarily or crunchy. There's a lot of different factors that are different, but it still has the elements of it.
You know, a recipe that really intrigued me, and I never thought of using this, but was the steamed eggs, the hot, fluffy egg custard, which uses anchovy broth. Have you ever worked with anchovy broth, John?
Well, I've worked with anchovies. You also have a recipe for stir-fried anchovies, which is it's different, I would say. But it's really good.
Yeah, it is good.
And this is, you do this in the microwave.
So lots of families I know when we were growing up, we all did the kirandim in the microwave. My father would do it a lot. It was just very simple. And, you know, there's many different variations to egg, you know, steamed eggs. And this one was the one that, you know, just pretty much followed me through my life, even my adult life, when I would be coming home from work and just really tired and just needed something with my rice with whatever was in the fridge. And so this was a simple way to do it. Actually, Eric Kim also has a very good microwave kit on Zoom recipe. And my dad, you know, would just come home and he'd beat eggs in a bowl and just prepare it as such. And I incorporated the anchovy broth just because it was on hand when I had it and made for a very tasty recipe. Yeah, and also to kind of encourage everyone, let's explore other things in your
pot. In the soups and stews category, I highlighted this one, the mushroom miso soup with tofu. And I like it that you admonished me, Steve, never let your miso come to a boil. Mm-hmm. Now, John, you're a chef. You probably knew this.
I think I was taught it.
Oh.
Don't do that.
It just destroys the flavor and the nutritional aspect.
And texture.
Yes. Yes. So basically all that magic that took a long time to do, you know, on its own pretty much gets. And it's okay, though. I mean, this is why we learn as cooks and chefs. We just, you know, what did we know before we even knew something? So it affects the flavor, but also my dad's secret was just adding hundashi, like a dash of it, and you know, it brought it to a smokier, you know, different kind of saltiness and depth to it. So
the combination, some of these just really knocked me out in that soups and stews. I put a big star by this spicy tofu stew with seafood, with pork belly and mussels.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, hemor sundubu, it'll do it for you.
and those ingredients play nice together, huh?
I mean, my father, you know, and my mother, actually. My mother loves to eat, and that's, like, something that really benefits their relationship, you know, and their marriage that's been going on for over 50 years. It's just one of those things that a lot of these, traditional recipes came from, you know, being regional and what was available and... when we're actually at restaurants, this was the questions I wanted to answer, I guess, with this book, was just for people who were ordering at restaurants, who were very curious and asking a million questions. I'll be honest, like after being asked a million questions at the table, what is this? What are we doing? I'm like, okay, like this is. And so, yeah, something as simple as hemor sundubu, which I'm sure is too... any cooking student who is starting or anyone who is very interested in it, but, you know, are afraid of burning water. It's like, it is the, you know, you look at a lot of these recipes and they're just home food. You just look at how they're prepared and how simple it can be. And that's what I wanted to kind of try to take the fear out of it a little bit. And that's why when the book is even written in a certain way, I wanted to write it the way I would teach my students.
Then part two is banchan from my kitchen. And there's a whole section of that. And I got to tell you, I put a triple star by the kimchi potato salad. Summer picnics are right around the corner.
Yes, they are. I got to tell you, and I even wrote this in the book, I believe, that I first tested this out on my mother. I brought over, I think, 4 or 5 pounds of kimchi potato salad. And this is, my mother is about 5'1", I would say 5'2", just like me. And she is such a slender woman, but man, she just packed it away. And I was like, I was just amazed. I'm like, sir, it's the best compliment when your parent really loves what you made.
Oh, yeah.
But I was just like, oh my God. Like my sister and I were just laughing just because we marvel when she loves eating something that we made or something that my father made. And she just, you know, the next day I got an email that basically said, oh, I ate all of your potato salad and it was so delicious. And I'm like, okay, my gift to you.
Like you scored big time.
I mean, there have been times I've come home, you know, in life with like summer corn and cherries and like I'll leave it in the fridge for not even a few hours. And I'll come home the next day, be like, what happened to the cherries and the corn? And my mom will just sheepishly kind of just go, oh, it was so delicious.
I think you nailed your mom's voice right there, too. That's part
and
two.
And I'm just like, oh, my God. I'm like, I can't believe it. She goes, it's okay. You can go buy more. I'm oh, God.
Well,
no.
I'd love to meet your mom. Also, there's the smoky gochujang chicken salad. And then we get into the hot banchan. Don't miss the kimchi mac and cheese that Caroline talked about earlier, the kimchi fried rice, the famous bibimbap, which so many of us have enjoyed at Korean restaurants.
All your leftover banchan, yep.
And the grilled kimchi, the sweet and savory grilled kimchi cheese. Man, it sounds wonderful. It's all there in the book Banchan, B-A-N-C-H-A-N, 60 Korean-American Recipes for Delicious Shareable Sides by Caroline Choi, C-H-O-E, Caroline Cho. Thank you so much for spending this half hour
with John and me. Thank you for having me. Yes, absolutely.
It was our pleasure. Hope to talk again, and you probably have another book in the pipeline, don't you?
From your mouth to God's ears.
Well, when that's out, we'll talk again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare, and I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing. Attorneys, this was meant to be funny, so please, don't sue me, especially my friend Kenneth from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-314-2233. 800-314-2233. 800-314-2233.
Looking for the best place for your furry friend? Welcome to Paradise Pet Resort.
Paradise Pet Resort offers all-day play in their amazing indoor and outdoor yards with daycare drop-ins for just $42 a day, or grab a 10-day pass for only $380.
Need boarding? Enjoy a $56 a night rate, which includes daycare, plus no extra fees for house food or intact males.
Your pup will love the large dog.